before you now, as we come to hear your voice as it speaks to us through the word and through the preached word especially. Father, we also pray, O Lord, that you would be with us as we are preparing our hearts for the Lord's table. Lord, we do pray that your blessing would be on our assembly now, that we would continue in a worshipful frame as we hear from you, and as we take the sacrament, that our hearts would be inclined towards worshiping you, our God, and that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have given to us as our great and magnificent high priest, the God-man himself. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This afternoon, we will consider the book of Hebrews, and in particular, as you see on your worship guide, we'll be in Hebrews 4 and 5. That's on page 694 in your Pew Bible. And our theme this afternoon concerns the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. That Christ must be man in order to fulfill the office of high priest. That he must have compassion on those who come to worship. And because he is compassionate, because that is a requirement of the office of high priest, as you will see, you ought to go straight away to him when you struggle with sin and temptation. Well, with that to set our theme, let's turn to the reading of the word, Hebrews 4, starting verse 14, and we will read up to Hebrews 5, verse 3. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy word. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sin. May God add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come once again to the preached word. And Father, we do pray that your servant who preaches would preach by the Holy Spirit's power and by the Holy Spirit's help. And we pray, O God, that this assembly here today would also have the Holy Spirit's blessing as they hear the word of God as it is opened, explained, and preached. Father, to that end, we pray that you'd let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. In heaven beats a human heart that is full of compassion for sinners. It sits in a man on a throne of grace, a man who's appointed high priest for the people of God. And that's a glorious thought, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And of course, I'm speaking of our Lord Jesus. But friends, if you don't meditate on such things, you will never seek this high priest for mercy and grace in your time of need. When you suffer with temptation and when you suffer with sin. And sadly today, there are many who have become weary of suffering, temptation, who have become weary of suffering under sin. And as you will see in the book of Hebrews, there are some who suffer so greatly that they are even tempted to abandon the faith because they do not recognize that Jesus Christ is available to give them grace and mercy in their time of need. And so they suffer temptation and they suffer sin all by themselves, and they just won't turn to Jesus for his help. Some are even fearful to go to him, fearing that he will be very severe and he will be severely judgmental against them and judge them for what they have done. So is that you today, friend? Is that you today? And if it is, and if you are getting very weary of your struggle with sin, you must regain hope from this text by recognizing that Jesus Christ is very compassionate on you. And that compassion is born out of something special in the God-man. It's a compassion that he has due to his very own experience with temptation. A compassion born out of his sharing of your nature, though he is without sin. Friend, the divine nature took on human flesh not only to die for sinners, but also that he might sympathize with them as a true brother who experientially knows their struggle. And that is the theme that we consider tonight. And I have prayed for you that after this, you will come to the Lord's Supper, the communion table, and see it as an expression of how compassionate your high priest is, that it would make you more open to seeking Christ when you need his help. Well, to understand these things, we must also get the context for where we are in the book of Hebrews, to understand the force of this text. And of all the epistles, really, it's the book of Hebrews that seems to be a sermon that is wrapped into a letter. And appropriately, this is because its author had a deep pastoral concern for those who he preached to. Because these people, as you might know, if you've read the book, were really on the cusp of abandoning the faith. Now, who are these people? We can't be certain. But the evidence points to converts from a Jewish sect, maybe like the Essenes. These were persecuted people. They were also isolated from Jerusalem. And they didn't seem to understand the Old Testament ceremonial system because it doesn't seem like they were really ever a part of it. But they had this weird fascination with angels. You might know that as you go through the book. And so the author of Hebrews constantly points them away from angels and to Christ. And the love of angels is actually a feature of a lot of Jewish sectarian groups. So that is one reason people think that they are a group outside of Jerusalem. They neither did they seem to recognize their need for a high priest. Again, if you've read Hebrews, you see that this is a theme that comes up over and over again. And though they called themselves Christians, they didn't understand Christ's office of priest. Now, perhaps it's a sad thing today to recognize that there are many Christians who haven't grasped the importance and necessity of Christ's priesthood for themselves, how necessary it is that they have Jesus as a priest, because there are many Christians today who just don't know the gospel. They haven't realized that their sins can only be cleansed by a high priest, Jesus Christ. And then there are others, though, who have come to Christ once for forgiveness, but do not realize or recognize they have an ongoing need for his grace and mercy. And so the Christian life becomes something very unbearable to them. Friends, all of Christ's offices are vital and important. But it is in his office of high priest that he has created an intimate bond between Savior and sinner. Because in order to execute his office of priest, he was made man, and he laid down his life for those who believe. And if you don't know the place of Christ's priesthood in your own life, you really need to pay attention this afternoon. Boys and girls, especially, if you don't know the place of Christ's priesthood in your own life, you should pay attention, pay close attention, and then speak to your mom and your dad after the service. Ask them what Christ has done for them as their priest. Well, these Christians that the letter is addressed to, whoever they were, whatever their identity, they were being lured away from the faith by what the author of Hebrews calls the deceitfulness of sin. And so throughout the epistle, the author pastorally pits two competing ideas against one another: the deceitfulness of sin and the sympathy of Jesus Christ. It's emblematic of that great struggle, isn't it, that began in the garden as the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman grapple with one another. Sin was trying to deceive them into abandoning the faith, to pursue sin and be hardened towards God. So in chapter 3, the preacher warns them, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So that's chapter 3. Here in chapter 4, the exhortation in 4, verse 14, is to point these people to Jesus Christ as their high priest, to contrast the deceitfulness of sin with the faithful high priest that you have. Listen to 4:14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens," and we read about that in Acts 1, didn't we? "A great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." That's the exhortation. These people are about to leave the faith. The exhortation is to recognize there is a high priest who has gone into the heavenly tabernacle. And so what is the exhortation? We must hold fast our confession. In Greek, it's a sense of seizing onto this confession. And what's the confession that they were supposed to have hang on to? It's in the verse that Jesus is the Son of God, with all the implications that come out of it. That simple statement is a confession of faith in Christ. And so that you and I would all hold on to our confession that Jesus is the Son of God, the author of Hebrews wants you to know that this Jesus, the Son of God, is also a sympathetic and compassionate high priest who ever stands ready to help you in your time of need so that you will not abandon the faith. And so we divide our time with that context into two headings, and they're very simple. That your first is your high priest is your brother, so you must be close to him. Second, your high priest is compassionate, so as the epistle exhorts you, you must go boldly to him. So first, your high priest is your brother. Look at Hebrews 5, verse 1 with this idea in mind. "For every high priest taken, or that is chosen from among men, is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Well, what's the high priest's function? It's to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins to God. Now, that right there doesn't add anything, does it, to your revelation of what the high priest was meant to do. The Old Testament teaches you this very thing. Hebrews is simply reminding you why the office of high priest was created. Because evidently the audience of this epistle didn't understand the high priesthood at all. If they would just know that, they would see the importance of Christ as their high priest. So he explains it to them. What is he explaining? Really simply, that this is a gracious office, isn't it? This is a gracious office. Think of it. God appointed men to offer sacrifices to blot out the sins of his people. That is an appointment of grace, people of God, isn't it? That's an appointment of grace. It's easy to miss that. You might read through the Pentateuch and you might miss the fact that this is a gracious institution. Don't miss it. Brothers and sisters, the priesthood was an office of grace and mercy. You think about it. This is a way for God's people to have their sins blotted away by the blood of an innocent. My sin is put away. I, who deserve to die, am saved, but an innocent is put to death in my place. God doesn't have to provide such an office, but he does. It's an appointment of grace. Now, that's not a new revelation, though you must always meditate on it when you think of the priesthood. No, there is new revelation here, though. It makes you consider this. Why was every high priest taken from among men? He is saying there is a reason why the high priest was a human, chosen from among other humans. Have you ever thought on the question yourself? Why was the high priest a human? Surely God had a reason for it. The verse says there is a reason. What is the reason? Let me ask the question another way. Why were angels not qualified to be our high priests? After all, if the office was simply to lay a sacrifice on the altar and to slay it, surely an angel could have done such a thing. Why must a man offer the sacrifice? Okay, let's press a little further with a question that's going to sound irreverent, but it's not. Why was God unqualified for the office of high priest? Why was God unqualified? It's so very difficult to say God is unqualified for a thing. But according to this verse, God does not meet the qualifications for a high priest, because a high priest must be taken from among men. What's the reason for it? The answer is found in verse 2, Hebrews 5, verse 2. So that he, that is the high priest, can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. You see, that's the answer right there, people of God. The high priest must be a man, that he might have compassion, because he experientially understands our frame. Friends, the divine nature is so far above us. It is so glorified, so beyond our experience, so beyond weakness and temptation, so much so that God could never be our high priest. He could never have the compassion which only comes from an experience of weakness, and there is no weakness to be found in God. God could never feel the power of temptation. Why? Because God cannot be tempted by evil. God could never know our sorrow the way we know them. God could never know what it is like to be mortal either, to know what it is like to have one's life come to an end, to experience the weakness of taking one final breath and then expiring. In his wisdom, God even knew that there are temptations that are unique to a man at the end of his life. That's something he could never experience. So the design of the high priesthood, friend, was God's wisdom in knowing we need someone who can have compassion for us because they share our struggle in our nature. So think of it this way. Consider the Old Testament high priest again. When the high priest saw a worshiper bringing their sacrifice to him, what was supposed to be his feeling towards the worshiper? Hebrews 5 says he was supposed to have pity on them. He could say, experientially, I know why you bring that sacrifice. I struggle with temptation. I suffer under temptation, and I know what it is like. In other words, Hebrews is saying, instead of this office being an office of self-righteousness, the high priest was meant to have a heart of compassion. And in the Greek, the sense is this, that they would actually, this would be maybe a more literal reading, that they would deal gently with those who came to them. In other words, it's not just a feeling. It's not just a feeling of compassion. This compassion was meant to move them to action, to deal gently and kindly with the worshiper. Now, That certainly carries over today to elders. To us who are elders, we must also deal gently with sinners. Brothers, we are meant to deal gently with those who struggle with sin, because even if our people, even if they struggle with sins that are not our own, that we are not prone to, we must remember and recall our own struggle with sin and how we require a high priest to be compassionate on us. And so, congregation, when you look to elect men to be ministers or elders, that is the kind of man you want watching over your soul. Do you want a man who's going to tell you to toe the line or else? Well, you do need a man who's going to be firm. But you also need a man who will be compassionate on you when you reveal your struggles to him. You see, the author of Hebrews is very firm. You know, he says some very hard things in this epistle. I know we haven't read it together, but you must understand that the author of Hebrews has a pattern in this book. Wherever he is firm, he is so quick to point you to Jesus. He is so quick to point you to this high priest to receive grace and mercy. Because that, he says, is what the high priest of the Old Testament was supposed to be like. They were supposed to express this kind of thing. When the worshiper came, maybe mournfully with their sin and that animal which will soon die, they were supposed to say, "Child of God, look at God's appointed sacrifice. Look at God's acceptance of it as it has been slain on the altar. Does its blood not speak a better word than the blood of Abel? And so let it be well with your soul." That was supposed to be their frame, people of God. They were meant to comfort the people in such ways because they knew their own need for the blood of the sacrifice. And congregation, let me remind you of this thing, that all Christians are called a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. Not by office, of course, but in terms of access to God. So all of us, because we are Christians, are called to be compassionate on the same group here of those who are ignorant and going astray. Be firm in dealing with sin, but take care to have a heart at the same time. Have compassion and deal gently. Never forget that you too struggle with sin and temptation. Don't forget it when you have to deal with somebody else's sin. Remember the gratitude you have that Christ had pity on you instead of pouring out his vengeance on you. Remember that when you deal with souls. Friends, what this text is saying to you is that the souls of men and women are quite fragile things. You know your own soul is a fragile thing. Handle them with care. So what does this teach us about Jesus? What is all this about the high priest teaching us about Jesus? And that's who we are here to really look at. It teaches you why the Son of God took on flesh. Because it was the only way he could fulfill this requirement of being our high priest. A high priest that has compassion on you because he knows the weakness of your nature. But first, we must be careful. Though he has our nature, he never sinned. He never sinned. We read verse 4:15. The author of Hebrews is very quick here. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So we have to be clear there. Jesus never fell into sin, unlike the high priest. We'll get to that in a bit. But the caution there aside, the temptations that our Lord felt and faced were very, very real. They were very difficult to overcome. He suffered. That's the language of the Bible, that he suffered under temptation. Listen to Hebrews 2:17 and 18. "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren." You see this recurring theme in Hebrews. "That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." Friend, what you have to understand is Jesus truly suffered temptation in this life, just as you and I suffer temptation. The language of suffering is deliberate in the Bible, because if you've ever come under temptation, and all of us have, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you know it is a suffering to get through temptation, isn't it? It's not an easy thing to get through temptation. It is a suffering. And the Lord Jesus says he understands suffering temptation. And so in a way that the divine nature could never know experientially, his human nature experientially knows suffering temptation. So with that, then, do you not believe that he has compassion on you who suffer and struggle with sin? While he was victorious, friend, over every temptation and over every sin that came across his way, he knows the power of it. He knows the power of it. It's so easy to forget that. And you notice here, what's also kind of interesting is it says that the high priests were also to have compassion on those who were ignorant. Those who were ignorant. And of course, Jesus was never ignorant, but he understands that he himself had to grow in his human nature in wisdom. He himself had to grow. And so he understands, child of God, if you have not arrived yet, and none of us have, he understands ignorance. Not because he was ignorant, but because he understands the human nature. That the human nature cannot have all knowledge at all points. And so he has compassion on those who are ignorant as well. It's easy to forget that too. And now we consider something really marvelous and mysterious. You see, we've been talking about the human nature all this time. But Christ is one person. He's one person. Very God and very man. He is the God-man. He is one Christ, not two Christs. And so what you must believe, child of God, is that the whole Christ, the God-man, has compassion on you. And that is the wonderful mystery of the incarnation. The one person of Jesus Christ has divinity and humanity in a perfect union. And the whole Christ has sympathy for you. Friends, Jesus at this very moment knows that you face temptations. And he knows they are powerful. And he is not unfeeling about it because he has felt it himself. Remember, now go back to our context. Remember the temptation that the Hebrews were facing. They faced perhaps the greatest temptation of them all, a temptation to abandon the faith, what we call an apostatizing, to abandon God. So now you have to ask yourself the question, if what we have said is true, could Jesus have even known that temptation to abandon God and to leave the faith? He must have. He was tempted at all points as we are. And I think, children, boys and girls, you might remember when he was tempted in such a way. Do you remember the wilderness? Do you remember the wilderness and when he was tempted to worship the devil? He was told that he could have the entirety of the world if he would just worship the devil. He was tempted to leave his God, but he wouldn't do it. He would only worship the Lord. But friend, he knew the power of that temptation and he suffered under it. Think of it. If he had fallen into that temptation, it would mean bypassing the cross and all the difficulties that were about to attend his entire ministry. But he wouldn't do it. You see it even when he felt tempted by Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Friends, our Lord Jesus Christ understands great and powerful temptations, even to abandon the faith. So think of it, friends. How does he not have compassion on even those of you who today might be tempted to leave the faith? That is the depth of his compassion. Because, friends, if we're being honest, sometimes it just seems as if life would be easier if we abandoned the faith. Sometimes it just seems that way because before you were a Christian, there was no conflict with the world. You were a friend of the world. You never struggled with sin. After all, sin was your master. It had you in its grips. The devil didn't care to assault you with his fiery darts. You were not a threat to him. You were on his side. And as the Hebrews found out, being a Christian is a rather difficult thing, people of God. And sometimes, as the Hebrews found out, it just seems better to leave your confession of faith. But friends, don't give up. As the author of Hebrews says, hold fast. Keep an iron grip on your confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you are tired and you are miserable today of running the race, you must understand this one thing. Christ has compassion on you for that. And he deals gently with you even in that temptation. And he beckons you, is what Hebrews is saying, to receive mercy from him. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 16 with that in mind. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, have you ever wondered why you can be so bold in going to the throne of grace? Sometimes we are so glad to know that, of course, but sometimes we don't understand the context in which those words have come to us. Friends, you can be very bold because you go to one who is no stranger to your struggle. You can be very bold because you're going to one who has sympathy on you. Have you ever linked the sympathy of Christ to his invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace? Yet that is the very link that is made in Hebrews 4 and 5. Because Christ is sympathetic, because he is very compassionate, you are told to go boldly to him when you need mercy and grace. And remember, once again, there is a little bit, I think, of a nuance missed here in this translation, that the word translated compassion also conveys an action. What he's saying is, come boldly, that the Lord Jesus would deal gently with you and give you grace and mercy in your time of need. Really fascinating contrast. He deals gently and you go boldly. What an astonishing thing. You would think it would be the other way around. But it says here, you go boldly and he deals gently. But how sin has deceived us, all of us. We saw that in Hebrews 3. Since then, it says this to so many Christians, stay far away from this one who's too holy, who's too severe to deal with a sinner like yourself. And that right there is a lie from the father of lies. That's a lie from the devil, my friend. In that time, when the devil is uttering such lies or indwelling sin is seeking to keep you from Christ, remember Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He suffered temptation, friend. So he is standing to aid you right now, friends. And think of it. If he experienced the power of temptation, but had no possibility of sinning himself, how much greater do you think his empathy is for his people, who he knows deals with the corrupt nature? Do you think he doesn't know you have a corrupt nature, child of God? Do you think that that has escaped his notice? If he suffered, being perfectly holy and sinless, and he suffered truly, then how much compassion do you think he has on you, who also struggle with a corrupt nature you get from Adam? He has a great compassion for that thing. He sees how great your struggle is. And so, as the author Hebrews says, when temptations arise, you must go boldly to the throne of grace for help. Don't be ashamed when you are being tempted. Don't think you must bear it yourself, child of God. You must march straight to heaven's throne to obtain grace and mercy in your time of need. And don't forget this either. It's interesting because Christ has three offices, of course, all bound up in his one office of Redeemer. And so Christ's compassion must be manifest in his other offices too, and indeed it is. As a king, he has compassion on you, so much so that as the King of Providence, he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that he always makes a way of escape for you when temptation comes. And as your prophet, he speaks this word of compassion to you today. Who do you think this word came from? It didn't come from me. It didn't come really, ultimately, from the author of Hebrews. It comes from our Lord Jesus Christ to his people by his Spirit. So in times of temptation, this is so important for you in times of temptation. You must pray to your Redeemer. Lord Jesus, pray something like this. Lord Jesus, you know the power of temptation. Give me grace. Give me mercy to stand it. And then to take that way that I know you have prepared for me. And if you do sin, if you do fall into temptation and sin, repent, knowing that his compassion hasn't gone away from you. Though he could never sin, he understands, as I have said, your corrupt nature. After all, didn't he live with men for 33 years? Didn't he? He even saw the earthly mother and father that he was called to honor in the fifth commandment. He even saw them sin. He even saw them fall into sin. And he was with a group of 11 men he loved very much. And he saw each and every one of them fall into sin as well. Believe me, he understands what sinners struggle with. And so he says to sinners, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the words of a compassionate high priest. But I do want to be careful in our time and note that there is a difference in Hebrews 5 verse 3 between the Old Testament high priest and Christ. And he is speaking here only of the Old Testament priest. He is required as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. See, these high priests, they had to offer up sacrifices not only for the worshiper, but also for themselves, because they didn't just suffer temptation, they also fell into sin like you and me. And that's the difference between Christ and these high priests. They were meant, when you look at the Old Testament high priest, when you look at men like Aaron, they were meant to make us long for a perfect high priest who does not need in any way to offer sacrifices for himself, which is what Hebrews 7 says concerning Christ. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Our high priest, praise God, is undefiled and is holy, higher than the heavens. He didn't have to offer a single sacrifice for himself and his own sins. But according to Hebrews 7, he did something far more remarkable, something no one else ever could. He offered up himself for sinners. Jesus is both high priest and sacrifice. And that's an astonishing difference between the Old Testament high priest and our high priest. So children of God, what does this show once again? That his sympathy and his compassion are very, very great. His love and tender dealings with sinners so profound that he offered up himself for them. He didn't just experience, temptation, did he, friends? But his compassion over seeing the children of God suffer in such ways led to him offering himself as God's appointed sacrifice, something that we commemorate with the Holy Supper this evening. And so when you come to the supper and you watch our pastor break that bread and you watch him exhibit the wine to us, what you are seeing is the compassion of Jesus Christ in visible form for you. You can do it, and you are seeing the compassion of Christ experientially yourself in a way that you can see, that you can smell and taste that the Lord is good, people of God. It is the gospel in visible form. It is the good news in visible form. God demonstrating his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you've not received this Jesus as your very own Savior, perhaps you've never realized that though your sins are great, his compassion is even greater. If you've never known that, you must turn away from your sin, repent of your sin, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ that you will see exhibited for you shortly. Maybe you've never known that Christ is so compassionate that he freely forgives sinners like this. So few understand that though their sin is so dark and evil to the Lord, the compassion of the Lord is so very great. So turn to Jesus. Have your sins wiped away from by him. And then also, if you are a Christian today, continue to go to Jesus for compassion. And for those of you who have been invited to the table this afternoon, what can you do but come with grateful hearts, praising God for such a compassionate high priest that is given to you? And if you are one of those who are weary today, like those the author of Hebrews was writing to, if you're weary of sin and you're being tempted to just give it all up, give up the faith because of it, don't go astray, as the author of Hebrews exhorts you. Christ knows that struggle himself, and he is beckoning to you even now to come to his throne of grace for his mercy and to lay your burdens on him. And I hope that all of us have come to understand these things this evening. Because, friends, the glorious thing about it is we would have no warrant to believe such wonderful and marvelous things if we didn't hear them out of God's very word. These things are too beautiful to comprehend and to imagine could be ours if God himself didn't say it to us. So may you all grow close to our high priest who deals oh so gently and compassionately with us, the sheep of his pasture. Let's rise for prayer. Oh, our Father and our God, how we bless you and how we praise you for giving to us your only begotten Son. Father, we confess to you, we do in no way deserve such a compassionate and sympathetic high priest. We acknowledge and praise you that it is only out of your own love and your own free mercy and grace that you have given to us such a one as Jesus, the eternal Son of God, come to take on flesh. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would continually guide us to our Lord, our High Priest, when those temptations do arise, or when we sin and we need your forgiveness, that we would never, ever forget the compassion of the Lord is so great. Give us a heart to worship you and praise you for these wonderful things that are revealed to us in the gospel of our Lord Jesus, and prepare our hearts for the supper. We pray and ask this in the name of our compassionate high priest, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Amen.